Well, get your paper clips and bobby pins and binder clips out, and or just three fingers, and go to the Gospel of John, chapter 11, verse 35. If you can quote that verse, you don't need to turn there. Corey's got it. And I know. Next is the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19 and verse 41. And then Hebrews, chapter 5 and verse 7. And we're going to talk about tears tonight. I'm going to run the risk of going outside 3 points in a poem and preaching and us just have a talk tonight. I've actually had an outline for this for a while and I've never preached it, but in communicating with Pastor Stone this morning about different things, a subject came up that we were conversing about, and it made me think about this message, so I dusted it off and finished it up and have never preached it before, and I delayed because, well, we're just going to see how it goes tonight. I didn't get my nap today in order that this might be the message that we share this evening. Had to be finished up. And so, in all my reluctancy, I feel led that this is it for tonight, so I have confidence in that. And I should, for another reason, because tears is a subject that everyone here can relate to. Everyone here has cried tears in their lives. We've all shed tears at some time or another. We've had tears over many different things. Some have had tears over physical pain. Kevin Benitez's father was cutting down a tree and he was on a bulldozer. And I don't know how big around that tree was, but it came down through the cage of the bulldozer. If it would have hit his head or chest, he would have died. It came down and hit his leg and broke his leg in half, and his leg was sticking out of his skin. It broke it in two places. I reckon he cried. I have a hard time picturing him crying, this tough little man, but I reckon he cried. I know he yelled. He yelled and yelled, and there had to be tears. We have tears caused by bodily pain, mental stress and pain. That'll bring tears to our eyes. In the emotion arena, that will bring tears as well. And if we could narrow down within those categories, we have tears of anger sometimes. When we're angry, we can cry tears. Bitterness can cause tears. Sickness causes tears. Of course, in our sorrow, we cry. Death brings them about. And separation from others in some kind of way will cause us to have tears. There are also tears of joy that we cry. That's a beautiful thing. Tears are an outpouring of what is inside us from a buildup, from the stress of emotion. You know, then, and all these tears, maybe we're thinking about ourselves and you know, the things that we experience that cause us to have tears, but we also cry tears for others. We have sympathy for others in their tough time, in their hard mental state. or emotional state or physical state, whatever it be. We cry tears of sympathy. I guess this would mostly be women who say this, and I'm not picking in that way. I've never heard a man say this, but as I'm thinking about things that have been quoted before, people, or mostly women, would say that I feel better after a good cry. Somebody has said that before, and or maybe if only I could cry, I could feel better. I just can't get it out, but I need a good cry. That's not to say that men don't shed tears just because we don't hear men say that. Two generations ago, you saw probably a once-in-a-lifetime thing if you saw a man shedding tears. It's not very often. I had my dad for 44 years of my life, almost 45 years, and I saw my dad cry tears twice in almost half a century. And so that's not common, but that does not mean that men don't shed tears just because they don't weep easily. How about our Lord Jesus and His tears? Jesus has a name, Man of Sorrows. As we say that, as we consider that name, I don't think we consider Jesus walking around sorrowful. There were moments that He had a sorrowful state, but I don't think for the most part that He walked around that way. I think it's a mistake to picture Jesus as sorrowful even half the time. As we would study the Gospels and learn of Him and His earthly ministry and the things He did, I don't think a lot of it was sorrowful at all. You know, I don't think we picture Him in conversation with His disciples a lot in a sorrowful state. Whenever Peter came in from fishing and he hadn't caught anything all night, and Jesus says, go on back out there and throw your net off the other side of the boat. I don't know this, but I just think there might be a second of humor there. You know, Peter, this professional fisherman, hadn't caught anything all night, and Jesus is pointing him back out there to throw your net off the other side of the boat. Whatever it is, that wasn't a sorrowful state. You know, you think of Jesus and the woman at the well when He went to Samaria. The disciples were hungry, and they went to the shambles. They went to the market to get some food. Everybody was hungry. Jesus was probably physically hungry at the time, but He stayed there, and He led the woman at the well to the Lord Jesus Christ, to Himself, and that she would be saved. And the disciples came back, and Jesus looks all energetic and doing well, and the disciples had food, and you know, and they're like, where did you, they might have been like, where did you get food, you know, where did you get this energy? And He says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Just picturing the life of Jesus, I don't picture a lot of the times as Him being sorrowful. You know, Jesus stopped off and He spent time with His friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. He hung out with His friends, and so that was always a good time for Him. Or there's the wedding feast that He was welcomed as a guest to. And so a joyful countenance might be how we picture Jesus most of the time. He wished that His disciples' joy would be full. Jesus is joy. The only place we can get joy is from Jesus. You'll find a wonderful note on that in the pastor's pen from the bulletin this morning if you haven't already read that. And so Jesus is joy, but also we might look at three occasions tonight where Jesus was sorrowful, where tears were present. John 11:35. What is the verse? Hey, you memorized it. Great job. Jesus wept there. And many of us know this event. there was sorrow in the Bethany home from Mary and Martha over Lazarus. And Lazarus had been dead 4 days. And Jesus didn't get there. And Mary and Martha, they're saying, if you had only been here, if you had only gotten here, he could have lived. But you weren't here. You didn't make it. Jesus showed up 4 days after the death of Lazarus. And Mary and Martha wept. And the Bible says that Jesus groaned in his spirit. And he was troubled. And it goes on to say there in verse 35 that he wept. He was moved with sympathy, and we could dice up and categorize a couple of different things about Jesus weeping and what caused that, but there's no doubt that within it was the sorrow that his friends were going through. And he was moved with sympathy on this occasion in one aspect for his friends. He sympathized with their sorrow. God the Son was definitely a tender, feeling human being on this earth. And he cared. He knew their pain. And he felt their pain with them. He had sympathy. He had empathy. Jesus knows pain. You know, just consider the experiences we know of with Jesus. Jesus hungered. Jesus thirsted. Jesus knew what it was like to be homeless. He knew what it was like to be betrayed. He knew what it was like to love and to not be loved in return. He knew sorrow. And he could share their pain. And he wept. He shed tears. Jesus had sympathy. He had sorrow. He experienced grief. Within this, we have to see an indignation over sin, not because of a certain sin of Lazarus in this, but just sin in general. Sin causes suffering and sorrow and death. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." We go over to verses 18 and 19 of Romans 5. It says, "Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." I'm so glad that death in the Bible is always qualified with life for the child of God by justification, by righteousness. We have been given righteousness, and that is making us acceptable to God. We have been accepted by God because He swapped our sin for His righteousness. And so I love the qualifications over death. That we're just going to shed this old body like a snake skin, and absent from the body is present with the Lord, and eternal life continues. Nevertheless, there is the experience of physical death. There's the experience of eternity away from God for the unsaved who never believe. But Jesus entered fully into their grief and their sorrow of children of God, of Mary and Martha. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus enters into our grief and our sorrow with us today. Right now, He knows our pressure. I'm about to mention things that maybe we don't share with one another too much, but it's real, and He knows it. He knows when we feel overwhelmed. He knows when we feel like we can't hold on anymore. We just can't go on anymore. He knows when we feel like that. He knows loneliness. He knows sadness. He knows what we're going through, not just because He's God the Son, but because He experienced it all. He knows it. And what's so good about Jesus knowing these things that we go through is that He brings relief. He helps us. Jesus got to Lazarus. Jesus gave the sisters relief. And He is with us when we feel like we're going to be crushed. Jesus is with us. He's by our side. He has us by His side. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2 says that, listen, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. He's with us through the flood, and He's with us through the flame. He's with us in the fire when we go through it. Within all that Jesus wept over here, let's understand that He wept for the children of God also, and He weeps over the children of God today. He loves us. He not only weeps over the children of God, though, Jesus weeps over His enemies. Luke chapter 19 and verse 41. And when He was come near, He beheld the city, and He wept over it. If you've never read up on the city of Jerusalem in its most beautiful state, I would suggest doing so, that our mind might get a picture of the beautiful temple, the hill of Zion, the valley of Kidron, and the mountains in the background, and Jesus walking the streets and go passing through, traveling the holy city. What a beautiful picture. And this is a time where we can picture Jesus as a man of sorrows and probably hear in His voice as He looked upon the city of His people, the Jews, and He wept. And we would probably hear weeping in His voice as He said, following verse 41, where it says He wept over the city, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the thing which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." Jesus knew the hardness of the hearts of the Jews. He knew their pride, his fellow Jews. He knew their self-righteousness that they most clearly put on display. He knew their unbelief. The Gospel of John 1:11 says that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He would, but they wouldn't. He knew their rejection would have a part of him being led to the cross at Calvary to be crucified, but he loved them and he wept over them. They had heard much truth about the Messiah in the Old Testament, that the Messiah was coming and Jesus came. They had the truth of Isaiah chapter 53 and such detail of the crucifixion of the Messiah. They would hear John the Baptist, who drew much attention with his message to believe and to repent. There's, of course, the 3 years of Jesus' life that he lived before those his people, the Jews, and telling truth among them, yet they had no eyes to see who he was. They had no ears to hear. They had no heart to receive the truth. The whole while, Jesus loved them, and he longed for their salvation. Let me just interject right here. Before I was ever in this church, and a long time ago in my young Christian life, I heard Jesus portrayed in such a way that would confuse me as to who he is. But this is the heart of Jesus for people right here, clearly. He loved people and he longed for their salvation. He still does. And people cross that deadline, wherever it is, and all there is for them is judgment. And Jesus doesn't want that. He has sorrow over that. If you're here tonight, or those listening in, and you're unsaved, you've never believed on Jesus Christ to save you from your sins, he longs for your salvation. And he's the one who gives salvation. He is for you, as in he wants you to be saved. He's done everything that is needed. And you can't fail to receive his salvation if you trust him by faith. He will save your soul. And he desires that you be saved now. I think he likes it when the preacher would give an urgency that today is the day of salvation, and that you would deal with that with the Lord right now. The temporary pleasure of sin is a high price to pay. It seems pleasurable in the beginning, but it stings in the end. It hurts us. God has such righteous instructions for us because it's good for our life. And sin is bad for our lives. He loves us and he knows what's best for us. And it would be wonderful for someone to be saved tonight. It would be wonderful for someone to call in or to write in and say they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and they believed upon him to be saved, because who knows where their deadline is. If you're here tonight or listening in and you're unsaved, you don't know where the deadline is that you cross over. I don't know where your deadline is that you cross over, but it's coming. And it may come in the near future. If Jesus Christ comes back to the clouds to get his people, that's a deadline right there. And that could be very soon that he comes back. How dangerous is it to toy with sin when it means the eternal damnation of the soul? I'm not saying that anyone has that clear focus here tonight, but we've knocked on doors before and people have clearly revealed that. You know, why not trust in Jesus now? Because I'm not through with my fun and I'm not through with my sin. That's a very dangerous game to play. It's hurtful for you if you're not saved. Not only that, it's going to hurt others as well. So why not trust Christ this evening? Jesus would have been overjoyed if he came unto his own and his own received him. And it's joyful to our Lord and Savior for one to humble themselves before him and say, I am a sinner. And I'm not saved. And Jesus, I do trust you to save me from my sins tonight. That's an overjoying effect upon the whole church. More importantly, upon Jesus. It's joy for Jesus today if one lost sinner would come to him to be saved. Jesus weeps over his enemies. And let us understand, all it takes to be an enemy of God is to have never received him as Lord and Savior. I just read Romans 5:12 a minute ago, how we're all born in sin. And we're all in hostility against God. We're born in hostility against God because of Adam's sin that was passed upon us. But Jesus loves his enemies, and he will lead them to the cross, as the song said, that they might be saved. Jesus weeps over the children of God. Jesus weeps over his enemies. And Jesus wept under his load. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. It says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Jesus prayed crying tears. When we read that, we quickly picture him in the Garden of Gethsemane, I guess, just before his betrayal, just before his crucifixion, just before he's taken captive. What a sacred scene that is. As Jesus sweat, as it were, great drops of blood over the pressure. What heaviness he had. What weeping he did. Requesting that he would be delivered from this load that he was bearing. All the suffering that he went through. Think of all the physical suffering that he went through. The mental and the emotional. But the thing about this load that he bore was that it was for the entire sins of the world. He bore everyone's sins on the cross at Calvary. Jesus wept over that load that he had to take our sin debt and to pay it himself. Isaiah 53 says, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. It also says that he bare the sins of many. Jesus wept under the load of our sins that were going to come upon him. Tears. We have an understanding here of our tears, that we have them. It's not a lack of faith. It's not a lack of joy. We also know that Jesus understands our tears. And let us consider His tears over the price that He paid so that salvation can be offered to you tonight. The salvation that the children of God here have been gifted with, that you have. Think about the price that He paid over this. Think about the understanding that He has over this. That's a good place to stop, and that's a great thought to go home with tonight on our hearts. The price that Jesus paid. I think there's a modern message that kind of tries to gear people into not looking back, not looking at what they were, not looking at what Jesus did. I never want to forget what Jesus Christ has done for us and what He suffered for you and I. How can the grace that we cherish not dwindle and fade away if we never look back at what Jesus did for us? The grace that we need grace today and tomorrow, but the grace that was needed for us to be saved. The mercy that He had, not to give us what we deserve, but to offer us eternal life. And He cried tears over that sacrifice that He made for you and I. And so if there's someone here tonight who has never been saved, I pray that there's been a reality that has touched your heart of what Jesus Christ has suffered to offer you. And maybe this is something you've known for a while. You've delayed. Just think about that wonderful grace, that offer is still there for you right now. One day it could be too late. After that deadline, after Jesus comes back, God forbid a quick physical death of anyone here or anyone listening in who's unsaved. And it's separation from God for all eternity. Would you trust your life to Jesus Christ tonight and know that you're going to be with the Lord forever and your sins are forgiven? Don't you need a Lord and Savior? Not only to save you from your sins, but to lead your life. Would you trust Him tonight? Would you be encouraged or just clear on the tears that we have? Jesus had tears as well. He understands ours, and He's always with us in our time of need. Be blessed, children of God. Let us pray, and then we'll have a time of invitation. Father God, we bow again before You tonight. Lord, we want to thank You for Your goodness to us. Lord, I thank You for a time that we can just open Your Word and through spiritual eyes by faith be able to see Your heart, to see Your love for us, to see Your help for Your children, and to even know our exasperating thoughts and our lowest points of weakness. And You're with us. You love us. You understand. You feel and know our pain. And You help Your people. I thank You that we can simply open Your Word, that we might truly know who our Lord and Savior is. And we thank you for being who you are. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for loving the unsaved soul who has maybe rejected you. But they have a free offer of salvation tonight, Lord. And we pray that if there's anyone here who has never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might be saved tonight. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you could please stand.
Page 417, 417.